Hello, happy site owners and webmasters. Welcome to the Bloggate Tips Tuesday podcast for October 20th, 2020. And I'm your host, Bayana. Tips this week include the all-new site services pages that are on Bloggate and who helped me create them. A reminder of why I don't offer on-demand fix-it services. Why I had to overhaul my new rebranding service. Why my webmaster training course members get hired more. The Cloudflare tutorials are updated in the webmaster training course. Why I had to pull the trigger and flip Bloggate to a Gutenberg hybrid setup. How village opinions are like gold for your business. Why you need to make a plugins list. The new Google Analytics 4 has launched, and why you need to keep your current analytics running too. What you need to know about Yoast and SEMrush teaming up for free keyword research. Bing launches a totally rebuilt Site Explorer. An update on what we're finding in Bing Webmaster Tools. Changes to the way SiteGround handles domain-related email setup. The confusing HTTPS settings at SiteGround. And a list of the hosts I can't work with for audits. So let's dive in. I sure do hope you'll join me for tonight's live stream at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Bloggate Facebook page. It's a great way to get the deeper story on what's reported in Tips Tuesday, and I almost always have breaking news for the day too, so come join us for the live party. And a note about who I help. All tips, advice, and suggestions in this and all Bloggate posts and tutorials are intended to empower DIY site owners who are serious about making money with their sites and who are not on hosting that is restrictive in what you can and can't do with your site and hosting setup. Now, if you have any doubts about what type of host you're on and if the tips I give will work there, go see my post on what is managed hosting. In Bloggate happenings, if you've been following me for a while, you know that I have been in a state of overwhelm with site service requests since this spring. Now, a big part of that overwhelm has been from the sheer volume of emails I get, as I'm spending way too much time on non-billable hours with folks that are requesting services I don't even offer, or gathering more info for the services I do offer. So I spent this week doing something about it. Woohoo! I want to send a huge thank you to Michelle Phillips of CodeFetti for her webmaster expertise on every service we both offer. That, combined with her awesome copywriting skills, uniquely qualified her for revamping and or creating all of my site services pages. She knows exactly what goes into performing each service. And the site services page now has blurbs for each service I offer with a link to read more. And each one of those pages now better educates and vets the potential client so they have a clearer idea of what the project entails, including their parts of it. Now, I also created all new service request forms for each of those services instead of combining forms for multiple services, and that will also help clarify and vet the potential client with the kinds of info we need to do the project. And on top of that, I put a before you apply notice above the site audit request form to ensure folks know that this is a partnership and DIY site maintenance education type service rather than a dump it all on the tech type service. And I want to thank all of my site audit clients who shared their comments and suggestions in our private Facebook group for the wording of that info above the request form. They have a unique perspective on what it's like to need that service and the info about it and the questions they had about it. Now, one of the reasons I've been getting a string of ill-fitting clients is that too many of them don't read what's on the services page. They just pull the trigger and contact me for services I don't even offer. Now, most often that happens with the site audit request form being used for a troubleshooting bug hunt for something that's broken on the site. So during that page revamp, I put in big red letters that Fixit services are not what the audit is for. I do offer fixes for the security and speed issues we find in the audit. Folks, I don't offer on-demand Fixit services of any kind, nor do I give references for someone who could. I'm not a clearinghouse for services I don't offer, nor do I want to be. Even if there is a referral commission, it's not worth my time to handle the emails. It's better for me to be clear about what I do offer and get emails from clients needing those services. And woohoo, I also want to thank Michelle Phillips of Covetti and Marcy Diaz of Amethyst Web Design for their expertise and contributions in making the new rebranding service page, intake form, as well as the checklist for the actual service. You know, when I first began offering the service, I had no idea how all over the place the needs would be. You know, to be honest, it drew in too many site owners who still have no clear idea what they want to blog about or what they need as far as theme design. Now, some bloggers have been through multiple rebrands already. And the way we hope this would work would be for me to vet the client's needs and then either do the simple rebrand of changing the domain myself or send the jobs to Michelle and Marcy if it would also include a theme revamp, as they can do the rebrand domain change during the theme revamp process. So we have been working together to retool the rebranding service page as well as the intake form to help potential clients understand the process and to ensure that we gather all of the relevant info we need on the intake form, especially for some of the caveats we've run into, like the need for the hosting package to be able to handle more than one domain or website so we can do the new add-on domain and then the redirects from the original domain properly. Now, what I'm finding is that the majority of clients wanting to rebrand are on the smallest and cheapest hosting package, and many of them only allow for one domain. So they have to step up in hosting package first in order to do the rebrand or forsake the redirects. Now, hey, whenever I need help for my own site projects, the first place I turn to is my own webmaster training folks. You know, each of us specializes in different areas, and we hire each other for help with our own sites and for our clients. So besides getting more jobs on your own from the new skills that you learn, being in our private Facebook group is a gold mine of new gigs and support when you run into something you're having issues with. Now, at least once a week, someone posts something that affects all of us, or an issue with a plugin or host or setup that they found, so we can all reference it later. And honestly, I would not have made it through the huge membership revamp last year without additional help from several of the webmasters in that group. And you can thank one of my webmasters for the nice new opt-in book with the latest things every site owner should know, too. Plus, I have plans to hire out theme revamps on two of my sites starting at the turn of the year. So, if you want to get qualified to do more than theme design and want to get in on these gigs and support, jump into the webmaster training. It pays for itself over and over. And woohoo, Cloudflare rolls out something new at least once a month and or makes changes to their interface every week. So it's pretty tough to keep tutorials updated. And that's just one reason I don't offer a free tutorial on it. You actually have to know what you're doing to set it up right. And I don't want to support the general public that have who knows what kind of setup on their site that the settings need to be integrated with. But I did update my Cloudflare tutorials and the webmaster training over the weekend. So do go have a look at the tour of them all, which is a quick run through of the current settings, and ensure that you're up to date with yours. Now for my site audit clients, we check your settings at your annual audit checkup. And woo, as y'all know, I flipped my Heartwood art site to Gutenberg last year and have been in love with doing posts and pages there ever since. But since I have so many custom styles and such on Blogaid, I wanted to do a thorough test on a clone site before switching it over to Gutenberg. Well, the pain I felt while revamping all of the services pages lit a fire under me to get this done sooner rather than later. And later was already scheduled for the turn of the year to get this project underway. Well, I finally hit my breaking point on it while trying to create the new landing page for my upcoming Gutenberg webinar that will be running ads on. And I took one look at the mock-up that the marketing folks did and knew that it would take me hours upon hours to recreate that in code. In fact, I would need to hire my designer to do the whole thing, as I just don't have that kind of time. So I did a test on Blogaid by making a settings change in the TinyMC Advanced plugin to have Gutenberg be the default editor, and then I made a few test pages, plus checked existing pages. Everything is fine, and in a setup that I can work with. Now, I still want to work with Marcy on a clone of Blogaid, as we will need to vet all of the custom styles I have in use and revamp for doing those things in Gutenberg. But at least I can finally go forward with using Gut on Blogaid for new pages and posts, and I am thrilled about that. Y'all, village opinions are absolute gold. You know, I asked my site audit clients and webmasters what they thought of the new webinar landing page. Without exception, they said they hated it, that it looked dated, and that they would not register for the webinar based on that page. Woo! So I Googled webinar landing page templates. Oh my God! They are the plainest things on the planet, with very little info, with no hype or excitement at all. Sounds pretty much like the blog post I have been using for my webinar registrations up to this point. So, I recreated the page to be more like the post content, but with slightly better styling. Now, I think we'll be sending the ad clicker folks there and then sending my newsletter folks to the post when I republish it. But this is exactly why getting opinions is so important. Now, if you're in one of our private Facebook groups, feel free to make use of the crowdsourcing options for your important posts and pages. All right, y'all, that's all the happenings from around here. Let's jump into this week's tips. In site maintenance tips, do yourself a huge favor. Make a spreadsheet or doc with all of your plugin names, what they do, and if they show to the visitor, a link where you can test them. In site audits, on average, I flag 40% of the plugins that are either resource hogs or worse, in direct conflict with one another. Way too often, the site owner has zero idea what each of the plugins even do or where they're used. Most say they were put in by their theme designer with no explanation or training. And then the site owner throws on another plugin that somebody said was a good idea, and it makes it all worse instead of better. Also, keep a list of plugins you delete. If you have an audit, the tech may find all manner of orphan files, folders, and database tables that need to be identified and removed. If you are a designer, make sure you clean up after yourself with regard to plugins, especially when revamping a theme. Don't leave things on there like regenerate thumbnails that will never be used again. And make a plugins list for your client and go over it with them so that they know what each one does. If you're a site owner about to hire a designer, ask them how many plugins they need to do your design. Because if plugins are all they use to do everything because they have zero design skills, skip them in favor of someone who actually knows what they're doing. Okay, I got to give you a word about the rest of these tips for this week. I have been under multiple deadlines all this past week, and I've not been able to even try the tips I'm about to give you. Now, if my schedule allows, I hope to get to them this week. In the meantime, please do make a comment on this post or in our private Facebook groups, if you're in one of those, on whether you have implemented these things yet and how that went for you. My goal is to either have new tutorials or reports for you in the next Tips Tuesday from my experience with them, as I intend to jump on these things as soon as I can too. Okay, in Google Analytics tips, woo, there's a brand new Google Analytics tracking code. It's Google Analytics 4, but they suggest that you run both the one you currently have now alongside this new one. And this is just one more reason why I suggest that you come out of an analytics plugin and put the code directly into the head of your site. Go see my post on how to add Google Analytics code to your site for how to do this via the Insert Headers and Footers plugin. Now, I strongly prefer doing it this way rather than adding it through your themes header script area. You know, if you change themes, poof, goes that code, because you'll likely forget about it. And by doing it with the plugin, it travels with you. Now, I'm especially excited about the new tracking for videos in the new code. And I expect that Google will be tweaking on this interface for a while. So expect bugs. In other words, don't believe everything you see in it and check it against your standard code data. In SEO tips, woo-wee! Yoast has partnered with SEMrush service to offer free keyword research from right within your site. Now, there are three big things you have to know about this. It requires a free SEMrush account. It has to be used in a post that you've already created. And you may have to give SEMrush access to your Google Analytics and Search Console accounts. Now, that last one I'm not sure about. Now, SEMrush is a fantastic SEO service for data mining, especially on the paid version. But I find that it's overkill for most bloggers, especially those who are not willing to devote a few hours a week into poring over that data and then taking action on what they find to improve their SEO. So, while this keyword research partnership may be a great way for folks to try the SEMrush service, don't count on that tool being 100% accurate. In fact, I know folks who have all of the paid SEO tools, and they say the data is wildly different between them. So, if you do use this, be careful about putting too much faith into what it's telling you, and be sure to keep checking your own Google Analytics and Search Console to glean the keyword feedback you need to create content that gets found and clicked upon. Now, if you have hooked up this already, leave a comment wherever you see this post and let us know what you think about it. Yoast also released a post titled Keyword Research for SEO, the ultimate guide, that will be worth your time to check out too. Got the links for you on all this in the post. And woo, in keeping with the total revamp of their Webmaster Tools interface, Bing has launched their Site Explorer tool. Now, it has been rebuilt from the ground up. This tool shows you how Bing is crawling your site and any issues it has found. Now, I have a new tutorial for it soon in the DIY SEO course. And my hope is that this will be far more reliable than Google Search Console has been for helping us locate broken links that has been worthless in GSC all year. And several of my DIY SEO course clients jumped right into the new Bing Webmaster Tools tutorials in the course, and they are easily finding all manner of site issues that are either next to impossible to find in Google Search Console or don't even get checked there. Turns out that the new Bing tools check your site for all manner of coding mistakes, like having more than one H1 tag on a page. That sort of thing is a minor SEO infraction, but still something you want to address. Now, I used my Heartwood Art site for making the Bing tutorials, and it had several errors listed. But when I checked into a few of them, I found they were falsely flagged. So do dig into those errors and see what they are. And if you're in the course, be sure to report what you found and what fixed it. And if you have screenshots, that would be insanely helpful. That sort of village participation is why we have so many fix suggestions for errors in Google Search Console, too. Everybody shared what they found on their site, and that helps all of us. In hosting tips, oh my god. This past week, I put one of my site audit client sites on Cloudflare. She's hosted at SiteGround and has the older cPanel interface. And suddenly, two of her domain-related emails stopped working. Turns out that you can no longer see any MX records at the host anywhere, including the MX record editors. So Cloudflare had no way to pick up the three email MX records needed. They sent us a tutorial on how to do that. However, Cloudflare did pick up some old MX record zero that nobody can explain what it is or how it was sent to Cloudflare. But with that MX zero record removed, the client can send or receive email from within the host on their webmail client. However, she still couldn't send or receive from her own email client, which is Outlook. Now, we're still investigating, but I think we might have it fixed by deleting a CNAME record and creating an A record for the mail DNS record. But I just wanted you to know that SiteGround has made yet another change that they didn't tell anybody about. And as mentioned, this is one of the original cPanel interfaces, and I have no idea if that change is also on the new custom control panel interface. Now, I've put hundreds of SiteGround folks on Cloudflare in the past and didn't have this issue, so it's all new. And another bit of goofiness I found this week at SiteGround is the way they have potentially conflicting settings with regard to the way they cheat HTTPS between their old and new control panels. Now, on the old one with cPanel, they have a custom Let's Encrypt tool that has your HTTPS settings. There is no such tool on the new custom control panels, just labeled HTTPS. And then in their SG Optimizer plugin, they have another set of HTTPS settings that I guess are supposed to override or set the tools in the control panel, but it doesn't work. That's not a big surprise. The server-side caching controls in their old Supercacher and now the new SG Optimizer plugins never did coordinate with the control panel settings either. And on top of it, I discovered that the tool on the new custom control panel actually does more than trick the HTTPS redirect now. It immediately converts the links in your database to HTTPS. That's insanity for a host to take on that kind of liability that could blow up your site. And then they apply their goofy trickery to ensure you never see the issues. And on top of all of that, the new custom control panel does not allow me to copy the database to do a full HTTPS conversion the safe way. I do it on the copy. So I can no longer do HTTPS conversions at SiteGround if you're on the new custom control panel. And because of this other goofiness, I'm about to draw the line on doing them on the old cPanel packages too. If you're on SiteGround, just leave. Now, I will still work on sites at SiteGround for audits and such. Just know that we have to deal with and work around their goofiness. That may cost more or have limitations on what we can do, and you may have to stay tangled in the way they do things until you get ready to move. There are hosts I've already drawn the line on working with for audits due to their crappy server setup, including HostGator, Bluehost, DreamHost, GoDaddy, and InMotion. Now, even if I could see everything I need for the audit service, their ancient server setups do not allow for full security measures to be taken, and security affects performance. So, I offer folks the opportunity to get migration services instead and move to a host with a faster, modern setup where we can actually make their site fast and secure. That migration service can be combined with a site audit, which makes the whole project cheaper for you too. And then there are other hosts I can't work at simply because they're fully managed, and it's against their terms of service for me or any other dev or site tech to make changes at that level that's needed for speed and such. Now, some of those hosts include Big Scoots, the VPS version. Now, I can still work on their shared servers. Lyrical, WP Engine, Agathon, and Kinsta. Now, this is not to say they are bad hosts. Some are actually excellent hosts for hands-off site owners. But it is to say that you're paying them bigger bucks to do all of this for you and using their unique setup. Now, I will also say that I've been able to do better with speed for my clients who came off those hosts and got on one where I'm allowed to make all the changes we want for their unique site needs instead of using a generic setup. And those clients are saving a bunch of money on hosting too. Go read my post on what is managed hosting to see where your host falls into the spectrum of every host that uses the term managed. All right, y'all, that's a wrap for this week's Tips Tuesday. Give me some love. Share this post with all your blogger buddies and blogger groups to support all the free and helpful info you get on BlogAid and to help your buddies. And be sure to visit blogaid.net for more tips and resources. And I'll see you online.